elk on our landscapes, although they do reside in areas that are a little bit more difficult to see them at times, they do exist, especially particular subgroups exist in areas that they're quite sightable depending on the season. So obviously when leaves are off during that winter time period, they can be a little bit easier to see, or if they're out grazing in some of these open landscapes, they're able to see a little bit more as well. And so actually, you know, elk tourism and elk sightseeing is a very large proponent both in the central zone and in the northern zone. And so folks across Wisconsin are genuinely interested in, you know, kind of getting that rare chance or rare opportunity to catch a glimpse of elk in Wisconsin, you know, back on their native grounds after reintroduction.
It's my thing, basically, because just from working at Lackey and Joy's downtown, and I would take people out on the river, I could see the impact that it had on their lives, their daily lives, quite honestly.
Fitness.
It was super fun. People had no idea you could hang out on the Maukee River. And I was like, you know what? We need to get people downtown. We need to get people docking at these restaurants. We need to get people on these rivers, because once they start paddling on these rivers, they start caring.
Okay, so you can rent a kayak and then stop at the restaurants?
Correct.
I was not aware of that situation.
Oh, yeah. That's really fun.
Is that so that you build that in, or that just the people can freestyle the way they want to do it?
People can freestyle the way they want to do it, yes. We have 2- and 4-hour rentals, and so you can pull up to Lakefront Brewery, which is super accommodating. They have a nice low dock there.
And beer's good for you.
Yeah, you know, and they have really good food.
The rentals of 10 years ago and even 5 years ago to now is completely different. There are just a lot more. There's apps now that allow you to rent boats in your community. And there's even something called peer-to-peer boat sharing. So if you are a boat owner and you may not be using your boat as frequently as you'd like, you're able to rent it out to people who can find it on an app. They pay for access to your boat. So there's also a money-making opportunity for the boat owner. And it's really become this whole new ecosystem where boaters are helping boaters-to-be get out on the water through rentals. But then there's also things like boat clubs. And these are ways for people to get into boating, have access to boats, and have access to captains, and really simplify the boating experience, particularly for people who maybe didn't grow up around boats or don't have the time or the know-how yet to own a boat for themselves.
It's time for some fresh air. So start packing, put on some sunscreen, and grab your favorite walking stick. This is WTMJ Outdoors. Here's your host, Steve Scafidi.
Welcome to WTMJ Outdoors. I love talking about the outdoors in Wisconsin, obviously, because of the name of the show. But what I love is meeting new people on the program. We've got a great guest for a couple segments today. She is a wildlife biologist in Jackson County, and her name is Christina Kazuski, and she joins us. Hi, Christina.
Hi, how are you doing today?
I'm great, but here's what I'm fascinated by. I've been thinking about this for a long time, and when I knew I was going to have an outdoor show, and it's midsummer now, when I knew that I was going to talk to someone about the elk herd, I've never seen an elk in Wisconsin, and I know we'll get into this, but I think there's a hunting season actually for elk now. So let's start from the beginning. I don't know how long you've managed this herd in central Wisconsin, but how long have elk been a thing in Wisconsin? I know they were a thing way in the past, but we've reintroduced that species. Let's start with the history here.
Certainly. So you're absolutely correct. Elk are a native species to Wisconsin. They existed across most of the state, actually, and there's literature and findings reporting elk resided in about 52 of the 72 counties across Wisconsin. So large proponent across Wisconsin, you know, back in the day, if you may. But by the late 1800s, elk were extirpated across Wisconsin. It's mostly due to unregulated hunting and habitat changes as settlement occurred across Wisconsin. And so there was a few early years attempts to bring elk back into Wisconsin, a few reintroduction efforts back in the 1930s and 40s. But it was really in 1995 when elk were sourced from Michigan to establish the Northern Elk Herd.
Does Michigan have a big population of elk?
Yeah, they do. They've had elk on their landscape longer than Wisconsin has as a established herd.
Wow.
So 25 elk were sourced from Michigan and brought and released into that Clam Lake area, and that really was the founding herd for the Clam Lake area. Fast forward to 2015, the DNR struck a deal with Kentucky to bring elk to the Central Forest Zone area within Jackson County particularly. So there were, about 75 elk brought in 2015 and 2016 to Jackson County to reintroduce and establish the Central Elk herd. And then subsequently in 2017 and 2019, additional Kentucky elk were brought to supplement the herd that was already established in that northern elk zone.
So is this elk herd self-sustaining now? They're producing babies and they're raising them. It's growing?
Yes, both herds, the northern herd and the central herd, are both growing. Over the course of time since reintroduction, we've seen some ebb and flow in that growth. However, the total trajectory for both herds have been positive, and both herds are growing.
So I said at the beginning, I've never seen an elk, and I do deer hunts in Waupaca County, which is a ways away from this area. But I'm curious, why do they spread far and wide, or do they sort of stay where they were sort of reintroduced?
We've seen a little bit of both. Each kind of subgroup that exists across each management zone kind of has a home, establishes a home range. And so typically that's about 10 to 20 square miles for our elk in Wisconsin, which is significantly less than, say, some of your western elk subgroups. Often they do stay within those home ranges. And one of the reasons we do see that a little bit tighter home range is due to the amount of resources that are within that home range. So they don't have to span far to find food, shelter, adequate living conditions within their home range. And so they often do stay pretty tight to their location.
As far as like what they eat and how they live, how are they different from, say, the moose population in the UP and the state of Michigan and the white-tailed deer population here in Wisconsin?
Mm-hmm. So moose are a little bit more of a browsing species. Elk are very much so a generalist species, so they browse and graze as well. So we see a lot of selection for our forbs and grasses, especially in the spring and summertime, and then a transition more to some woody browse over the winter. But, white-tailed deer are fairly generalist as well in that aspect, but elk seemingly a little different than moose, where they're a little bit more, moose being a little bit more of a browsing species.
We all see white-tailed deer almost in our daily lives now because they're in neighborhoods and in communities large and small. Does the public in the areas you're talking about where the two herds are located, do they see and interact with these herds?
Yeah, elk on our landscapes, although they do reside in areas that are a little bit more difficult to see them at times, they do exist, especially particular subgroups exist in areas that they're quite sightable depending on the season. So obviously when leaves are off during that winter time period, they can be a little bit easier to see. Or if they're out grazing in some of these open landscapes, they're able to see a little bit more as well. And so actually, elk tourism and elk sighting is a very large proponent both in the central zone and in the northern zone. And so folks across Wisconsin are genuinely interested in, kind of getting that rare chance or rare opportunity to catch a glimpse of elk in Wisconsin, back on their native grounds after reintroduction.
How did you get into the specialization of your skills for the Department of Natural Resources?
Well, I always had a profound love for the outdoors and interest in wildlife. And I actually used to work up in Duluth, Minnesota, working with moose up there. And so, as we just kind of spoke, a little bit of crossover on this large-bodied ungulate out on the landscape. And so that's where I started my career and quite a bit of translation into this position. So I've been with the Wisconsin DNR for 3 years now, managing the Central Elk Herd.
Christina Kaczewski joining us. She's a wildlife biologist, Jackson County, managing the elk herd, along with, I think, Josh Spiegel was the other individual that's helping you in a different herd. We're going to take a break. You're listening to WTMJ Outdoors. More with Christina and more about elk in Wisconsin on WTMJ Outdoors. Continuing our conversation with Christina Kaczewski. She's a wildlife biologist, Jackson County, for the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, talking about elk. All right, so the big question is, is there an elk hunting season?
There is an elk hunting season, yes. And so elk across the landscape of Wisconsin provide both a non-consumptive in that wildlife viewing, sightseeing aspect that we spoke about, but then also a consumptive aspect as well. And so there's been a hunting season since 2018 in the northern elk zone and since 2024 in the central elk zone.
So what are we talking about? How many elk are harvested each year, or at least how many are issued for hunting?
Certainly. So our population estimate across Wisconsin for the 2024 post calving estimate was about 550 elk across the state of Wisconsin. And so quotas are determined and recommended from our elk advisory committee, and then it gets approval from our department. And so you're looking at about eight bull tags for the northern zone. And then our first year for the central elk zone, we issued four bull tags. So that would have been 2024. In 2025, this fall, we'll see a quota allocation of four bull tags for the central zone and eight bull tags for the northern zone, as well as a five antlerless quota for the central zone.
I have to ask you, because people are going to ask me, how do folks apply for those?
There is a application period. It runs each year from March 1st. To May 31st. And so you put your $10, which gets your name into the hat, for the drawing that occurs about early to mid-June. We'll select the hunters. It's a randomization, no preference points. You do have to be a Wisconsin resident to be able to apply and win a tag.
So have you ever talked to someone who's harvested a bull? And if you did, what was that conversation like?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question. So in state statute right now, registration of a harvested elk needs to occur in person. And so actually my counterpart, Josh, and I have the amazing job to be able to go out and interact with these hunters after a, you know, life experience, really, being able to harvest a Wisconsin elk. And so that interaction that we're able to have with those hunters is so amazing. And it starts back in June when we're able to give them that phone call and let them know, hey, you were one of the, you know, small number of folks who were drawn for an elk tag this year. And so we're right out there in the field after they harvested that elk. We assist with pulling some biological samples, and we're able to, you know, kind of share in that success that they have just accomplished. So it's a great interaction with members of the public, and, you know, they are just, on the moon, happy about their harvest. So it's a great perk of the job.
Before I forget, there's got to be a website or a place people can go to find out about all this stuff, because we're too late for this year, but for next year's hunts, mm-hmm. Where do they go find that?
Yeah, so if you go on to our Wisconsin DNR website, there should be a search bar. You could just put elk in Wisconsin, and it'll pop right up. There is a specific page dedicated to elk hunting in Wisconsin as well, but we have a numerous number of pages on our website, and it talks about our management efforts, the biology of elk, and then hunting of elk as well.
Kind of a goofy question, but how cool is your job?
You know, it's amazing. I kick myself every day to think that this is a job, if you want to call it that. And, you know, elk is certainly in my PD, my position description, but all other game species as well. And elk keep us pretty busy here in Jackson County, but It's something I wouldn't trade for the world.
Oh, you know, I was going to ask you. I forgot to ask you this. Is there, you know, we've talked about, and I've talked to people like Paul Smith, the outdoors editor mm-hmm. at the Journal Sentinel, about chronic wasting disease, its impact on the white-tailed deer population. Mm-hmm. Is that impact elk or no?
So elk as a species can contract CWD, and it does have an effect on them. However, in Wisconsin, we have not had any positives of CWD in our elk herd. And so anytime we have a mortality, we test those animals for CWD. And so far we've had zero, which is obviously a good trend. But the areas where elk are residing currently are also lower CWD prevalence in our whitetail herd. So it's definitely something that the department is, you know, keeping an eye on. We're continually testing. So, yeah.
I love it. Christina Kazuski, wildlife biologist, Jackson County, managing our elk herd, doing a fantastic job, it sounds like. Let's do this. Let's make a placeholder. So next year, before the application period begins mm-hmm. for 2026, let's talk on WTMJ Outdoors and sort of point people in the right direction. How does that sound?
That sounds wonderful. I look forward to it.
All right. Thanks, Christina. Thanks for joining me on WTMJ Outdoors.
All right. Take care.
Welcome back to WTMJ Outdoors. I am excited about this one because I see these kayaks everywhere. Joining me in studio, Beth Handel, owner and operator, Waukee Kayak Company.
This is correct.
Yes.
Thank you so much for having me
Absolutely.
Here.
Absolutely. What's with this kayak thing? It's crazy. Everybody's riding around in kayaks along the rivers, on the lakes, people driving around with them. What's driving all this?
You know what? It's super fun. You get some fresh air. You get a nice workout. You know, everybody arrives and they're super happy. And just is a nice, positive environment. And we're outside. We're enjoying the great outdoors.
Somebody asked me to ask you this question because, again, the curiosity is big on the kayak thing because I have friends who own them and do the whole, they fish in these things, which is something I don't understand because I'm a fan of fishing boats. But so beginners, can you just show up at one of your three locations? I know you have a more fixed one and there's two ones that sort of open on weekends.
Correct.
We'll get to all of that. But beginners, just hop in and you can go on your way, or is there like something lessons you got to learn before you do that?
Yeah, we definitely take beginners at Milwaukee Kayak Company. When you get there, you know, we check you in and we outfit you with the proper kayak, life jacket, and paddle. We go through a whole paddle demo. So we actually teach you how to paddle. And then if somebody is really, really nervous, we'll hop in a kayak and we'll go out with them.
So it's not one size fits all?
Not
because there's big people and small people, I guess.
This is true, yeah. And we have kayaks that fit all sorts of people.
Really?
Yes. So we do have a maximum weight capacity for our kayaks. I think offhand it's 275 pounds for our singles, but
Thank
we
goodness
also
I lost weight, yeah. Beth. Easily fit in that sucker now.
Yeah, you would fit in it.
I want to do this too. So it's not just me I'm talking to you on the outdoor show. I want to actually go do this.
Yes.
And I imagine there's a party element to this as well. You get a group of people.
Well, we focus our kayaking, canoeing, and stand-up paddleboarding on the Milwaukee River, Menominee River, and the KK River. So we're super lucky downtown Milwaukee here because we have three different rivers we can kayak on. And it is a party because people are out there enjoying themselves and having fun. There's motorboats, there's kayaks, there's just all sorts of different recreation opportunities.
Do you have to like steer clear of all the boats? Because there's a lot of boat traffic in the summer on those rivers.
There is a lot of boat traffic, yes, especially on the weekends. So we stay to the side. So we have three main rules: wear your life jacket, stay to the side of the river, and then stay on the rivers. We'll go out to Lake Michigan on occasion for guided tours, but we
inside the breakwater, I'm imagining. Yeah,
yeah, definitely focus on the rivers.
Well, there's days on the lake when it's super calm.
It's
not that much different.
It's so beautiful out there.
All right, I'm always interested in my guest's personal story. So you didn't just all of a sudden say, hey, I'm going to create a kayak company. How did we get to that part of the story, Milwaukee Kayak Company?
Sure. Yeah, I used to work for, you know, the park people, Friends of Milwaukee County Parks, and I got to be involved with a lot of outdoor organizations that were doing great things for the parks and the rivers, Milwaukee River Keeper, you know, for instance. the Milwaukee Riverwalk District. And then I worked for Lackey and Joy's down on the river. And we
well-known name.
Mm-hmm. I know. Love that company. Yeah. Met so many great people
there. For a long time.
Yeah, for sure. And so I used to take people out on the river when I worked at Lackey and Joy's. And then they announced they
were... Like you guided them, sort of?
Yeah, I would do some little guided tours.
So, like, did you have training, like, before? Like, were you, like, an outdoors person when you were a kid and, like, teen and all that stuff? Or how did you, like, get into that? Why is that your thing?
It's my thing, basically, because just from working at Lackey and Joy's downtown and I would take people out on the river, I could see the impact that it had on their lives, their daily lives, quite honestly.
Fitness.
It was super fun. People had no idea you could hang out on the Milwaukee River. And I was like, you know what? We need to get people downtown. We need to get people docking at these restaurants. We need to get people on these rivers because once they start paddling on these rivers, they start caring.
Okay, so you can rent a kayak and then stop at the restaurants?
Correct.
I was not aware of that situation.
Oh, yeah. That's really fun.
Is that so that you build that in or that just the people can freestyle the way they want to do it?
People can freestyle the way they want to do it. Yes. We have 2 and 4 hour rentals. And so you can pull up to Lakefront Brewery, which is super accommodating. They have a nice low dock there.
And beer's good for you.
Yeah. You know, and they have really good food.
All right. I'm going to do this a couple times. How do people find out about Milwaukee Kayak Company, like rentals, website, all that stuff?
Sure. Yeah. Our website is milwaukeekayak.com. We have an email address for any questions, info@milwaukeekayak.com. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. And, you know, we're partners with a lot of organizations doing great things. So we seem to be, you know, out and about a lot.
All right, we're going to take a break here. Beth Handel, do you call yourself the CEO of Milwaukee Kayak Company?
Or paddler.
Paddler, chief paddler in charge.
Correct.
That's a good title. That's a good title. More of that conversation on WTMJ Outdoors after this on 620 WTMJ. Welcome back to WTMJ Outdoors. Steve Scafidi along with Beth Handel, chief paddler at Milwaukee Kayak Company. One of the things that I said at the beginning I've noticed is there's kayaks everywhere. Why do you think this sort of element of all the outdoor stuff that we can talk about, whether it's fishing boats, pontoon, you know, pontoon boats is big too. Mm-hmm. My in-laws just bought one. I could have bought a house for it as much as they paid for that pontoon boat, which is a whole separate conversation. But why do you think it's kayaking that sort of took off? Because they're everywhere now.
Because it's a silent sport. You know, it's affordable. You know, for a 2 hour rental, it's $35. For a 4 hour rental, it's $40. So it's like basically $10 an hour. We're not causing any pollution. We don't use gas, oil. It's all our core muscles and our arms and our body doing the work.
Can a regular person who's not like active, like I walk every day, like I try to get my 10,000 steps in or I quick walk to kind of, you know, get my blood circulating better. Somebody shows up that's not really super fit, easily drop them into a kayak, little instruction, they can do it.
We would probably spend a little bit more time with them. And
in the water or just like out of the water?
On land for sure. And then we'll see how they do once they launch. But we're always happy to hop in a kayak. But we also offer guided tours.
Oh.
So we have lunchtime tours from 11 to 1.
Every day?
Mm-hmm. Every day that we're available to do a lunchtime tour, yes.
Okay. And so what's the biggest group of people you can have?
For tours, we like to keep them under 25 paddlers.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah, because then we have guides that go.
Do you have like people that straggle or get lost and you have to like go back and get them? Like, you're probably really quick in the kayak, I'm guessing.
I mean, yeah, but...
You're the disciplinarian
yes,
too?
Yes, exactly, yeah. You know, we just go with the pace of the group. And we always, in our guided tours, we always have somebody in the back sweeping to make sure nobody's left behind.
What's sweeping mean?
Like they're in the back, you know, making sure that the stragglers.
Up the rear. Correct. Yeah, they said in the military, pulling up the rear, yeah.
Pulling up the rear.
All right, so I got to ask you this question. Unrelated to kayaking, what's the quality of our river water? I'm always curious about that. Good?
Sure. So, I mean, we work really closely with the Milwaukee Riverkeeper. I was on their board for almost 10 years. The river is the cleanest it's ever been.
Really?
So, yeah, absolutely. After a rainfall, we definitely monitor the water quality, and we work with MMSD, who has really great programs in place to maintain stormwater, where it lands. And so there's lots of great organizations doing good things to maintain the quality of our rivers.
When I'm thinking about kayaking, I think about, like, I've been in canoes,
I did a lot when I was a Boy Scout and in early part of my life. I haven't been in a canoe recently. And then fishing boats, pretty stable. Kayak, how stable, not stable? Or is it something you just get used to?
I do feel like it is something that you get used to.
Because it's not as steady as like a boat would be.
Oh, like a motorboat?
Yeah. Or a rowboat,
right. Because you are sitting basically in the water, so you are very close to the water. So
does the water come in, like, on occasion?
I mean...
You're wearing a swimsuit when you do this?
In the middle of July and August, sure, with your life jacket on, yes.
Everyone has to have a life jacket, because it's always safety first.
Yeah, you know, we're
on
rivers.
You give them those two?
Correct.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, we want people to wear their life jackets.
What are the other rules of kayaking along our riverways?
Staying to the side. So we stay on the outside of all the motorboats.
Yep.
Wearing your life jacket, staying on the rivers. Those are the three main rules.
Well, where would you go if you weren't on the rivers?
The lake. Lake Michigan.
Oh, they want to veer off. Because
yeah.
do you go to like where the, well, not the port, but the start of the inlet of the river is?
Sure, the mouth of the river, yeah.
You circle back then.
By the home bridge, yeah.
And they want to keep going.
Some people do, and I'm honestly, on perfectly calm days, people go out there. And we have season passes, too, so a lot of our season pass holders, we've been open for, this is our 13th summer, so we've had a lot of people who have really learned the sport of kayaking. And so they'll go out there, but they're confident in their abilities. They let us know they're going out there. We offer morning tours where we go out there, and it's absolutely beautiful. So.
I can imagine. I was just on a pontoon boat with a fundraising group last summer, and in the morning at like 6:30,
mm-hmm.
gorgeous out there on a quiet day.
Yeah, it's so nice.
We do have a great spots in more. I don't, you know, you spend a lot of time on the rivers. People don't appreciate how cool this stuff is. The fact that we have the river connected to a great lake, you know, great city on a great lake, or what's the term?
Yeah.
Great place on a great lake.
Yeah. They should bring that back.
Got to ask you about the business side of things.
Sure.
So it's never easy to start a business.
Correct.
But you made that jump. Ever look back and say, God, why did I do this? It's too much work.
It is a lot of work, especially in the summer. You know, I have a family and two small kids.
How small?
Work a lot. Well, Charlie's 11 and Eleanor's 7. So
I love how you got their names ages.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Proud mom.
So cute. Yeah, they're adorable. I have no regrets opening Milwaukee Kayak Company. It's super fun. Our staff is amazing. We have veterans.
How many people
staff.
Work for you?
I mean, there's like 15 to 20 people
oh,
that
no
work
kidding.
At the kayak. We have a lot of hours. We're open a lot.
What's the lifespan of a kayak?
We rotate our kayaks like every 2 years.
Really?
So,
they wear out?
You know, we just like to have new equipment. So
the fancy stuff.
Yeah, we just like to have new stuff.
What's the weirdest thing that's happened on one of your little group? Like you lost a paddle. So like, who lost their paddle? Does that happen?
I mean...
Because you're not going anywhere without the paddle unless
right.
the current takes you.
Yes, this is true. There's been some crazy stories out there.
Yeah.
Let's just leave it at that.
All right.
But we're here to help.
Chief Paddler in Charge, Beth Handel, Milwaukee Kayak Company. One more time on the website. From what I know, and I have a lot of friends who kayak, it's like the best. And, you know, you're fit, so I can tell that. So it's a great way to sort of help in that endeavor, especially as you get older, you want to keep doing stuff. And the other cool thing, low impact.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
This is true. Yeah.
Yeah, you're not pounding on your knees or your joints.
No.
You're making your arms stronger, core strength, as you said.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for coming on the WTMJ Outdoors.
My goodness. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I will see you at your place of business.
Can't wait.
Yeah.
Yes.
You'd be nice to me?
Of course I'll be nice to you.
She's Beth Handel, CEO or president or whatever, owner at the Milwaukee Kayak Company. You're listening, of course, to WTMJ Outdoors. Welcome back to WTMJ Outdoors. As we all know, living here in Wisconsin and in the Midwest, boating is very popular. 85 million Americans go boating each year. I thought, let's talk to somebody who is a subject matter expert on this. Ellen Bradley, Senior Vice President, Discover Boating, joins us from a boat. Where are you, Ellen?
I do have the benefit of talking to you today from a boat. The sun is shining. It is blue skies. The wind is in my hair. I'm not technically out on the water. We're still at the docks, but we'll be going out here in a little bit. I'm talking to you from Huntington, New York.
I love it. So let's start with the big one. Why do so many people, millions of Americans and thousands of Wisconsinites, love boating?
Well, in Wisconsin, you know, you guys are surrounded by water. It's one of my favorite places to go boating. And I think if you're a boater yourself and you know that it is one of the best ways to disconnect. And more we're finding that people just want to get away from it all and the stress on land, and boating transports you into an immediate vacation mindset. And as a boat owner, I can attest that you have a vacation every weekend. So it's something that I look forward to every summer.
We know that a lot of the conversation nationally and internationally is about how much time people spend on their screens, right? Their phones and their laptops and iPads and all that stuff. But boating is sort of that getaway. And here in Wisconsin, we are a top 10 state for boating. People love to be on the water, whether it's pontoons or water skiing. I just talked to a water ski association the other day. This is a sport and an industry that really does a lot of things. And one of the first and foremost things it does is it calms us, and it provides a great source of recreation each and every day in the summers here.
Yes, and I think that as we see more and more people really looking to get away and turn off their phones and turn off social media, they're prioritizing experiences too over stuff, right? And boating can be that solution. And we're seeing that boating is that solution for so many people. And I know that, and it sounds like you do too, I put my phone away because you don't even think about it when you're on the water, unless you're ready to take a photo. But it's one of the most relaxing activities out there, but it's also an activity that allows you to learn new skills, have adventure, spend time, quality time with friends and family. And that interest is driving recreational boating as a massive economic engine, really, for not just the state of Wisconsin, but around the country.
Yeah, that's one of the interesting things about this. It's not just the fun part, which we all enjoy, and I was just on a pontoon boat recently. It's the fact that this is an economic engine. Lots of jobs, businesses that benefit from this industry. Talk a little bit about that and what the impact it has, not just here in the Midwest, but across the country.
Well, across the country, recreational boating is about a $230 billion economic driver. And there are an estimated 85 million Americans who take to the water. And in Wisconsin alone, there is an estimated $1 billion of just new spending that happens every year. Mm. And that's thanks to approximately 600,000 registered boats, but then also that the rental activity, the peer-to-peer rental activity, the boat clubs, and all the new ways that are popping up across the state and really across the country for people to be able to try boating and be on the water like never before.
When I was reading some of your materials, I actually didn't think about that. So a lot of us know it from people owning boats or friends who have boats, but there's a lot of other opportunities to get on a boat and participate in all this great recreation. Let's sort of parse some of those things. I know rentals is part of that, but there's other ways you can do it as well.
Yeah, and I think the way that the rentals of 10 years ago and even 5 years ago to now is completely different. There are just a lot more. There's apps now that allow you to rent boats in your community. And there's even something called peer-to-peer boat sharing. So if you are a boat owner and you may not be using your boat as frequently as you'd like, you're able to rent it out to people who can find it on an app. They pay for access to your boat. So there's also a money-making opportunity for the boat owner. And it's really become this whole new ecosystem where boaters are helping boaters-to-be get out on the water through rentals. But then there's also things like boat clubs. And these are ways for people to get into boating, have access to boats, and have access to captains, and really simplify the boating experience, particularly for people who maybe didn't grow up around boats or don't have the time or the know-how yet to own a boat for themselves.
We're talking to Ellen Bradley, Senior Vice President of Discover Boating here on WTMJ Outdoors. One of the other impacts of this, obviously, is wellness. We talked about people having fun, but there's a wellness aspect to this, too.
There's a massive wellness aspects to recreational boating, and there's actually something called Blue Mind that you're transported to when you step on a boat, and there's real science behind this. I've tried it myself, where you look at your heart rate and all the indicators of when you go from a stressful state to a de-stress state that happens when you're on the water. And
that wellness benefit is something that I think more and more Americans are prioritizing, and we're certainly seeing that in the boating industry. And it's one of the reasons, one of the key reasons that so many people are prioritizing and really looking to spend their recreational dollars and their leisure time in recreational boating.
One of the things I love to do when I have guests on the program is ask them how they got where they're currently at. And I'm curious about your story. How did you get into boating and certainly this side of it?
Well, recreational boating is one of those industries that you work in and it doesn't really feel like a job. It's something that I'm very fortunate to be able to be a part of. And as someone who grew up around boats but didn't own a boat, it was a natural draw for me to learn how to get started. And there's this great organization, Discover Boating, that I'm affiliated with. And we help people get started. We help people get out on the water. And the joy that comes from people who find boating and people who are able to connect with their family and friends on the water is truly like nothing else. And so my own personal journey led me to from a boating interest to somebody who gets to help people get out on the water.
I also love connecting people to interesting resources. If folks want to find out more about boating, Discover Boating, how can they do that?
So if you don't have a friend with a boat or you're not sure where to get started, Discover Boating can be your friend with a boat. It's got everything you could possibly need, from those insider tips on how to buy, how to find boat insurance, how to boat safely, down to where to find restaurants on the water where you can dock and dine. But it also has insight and references, resources on how to rent a boat, where to rent a boat. We've got all kinds of listings of boat clubs. So truly it is a one-stop shop for all your boating questions and needs. And it breaks down a lot of what I think for a lot of people can be somewhat of an intimidating experience. And we make it feel a lot more friendly and welcoming than I think people really realize that boating is truly all about.
Ellen Bradley, Senior Vice President, Discover Boating, joining us from the water. Thanks for sharing those resources and your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Steve.
You're listening to WTMJ Outdoors on 620 WTMJ. Thank you for listening to WTMJ Outdoors. I love talking about the outdoors, but here's where you can come in and help me make this show even better. If you have stories, if you're a guide, if you're a resort owner, if you work in an industry that shapes recreational opportunities outside in the state of Wisconsin, and that's a big umbrella, big wide network casting, any stories that you think might be interesting to our audience and our listeners and our fans of the show, just send them to steve.scafidi2fs1d@wtmj.com. This is a show for everybody. We're going to certainly talk about hunting and fishing, because those are big recreational opportunities in the state of Wisconsin. But boating, as you've learned today, is a big one as well. Lots of great things that are happening in the state of Wisconsin and beyond, because I know we have listeners all over the place, and there's always those podcasts. Each and every episode, you can find on our podcast page at wtmj.com or wherever you get your podcast. This has been WTMJ Outdoors. I'm your host, Steve Scafidi, on 620 WTMJ.